Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Dr. Stephen Grable today. Dr. Grable's medical practice is Complementary Care Center out of Jacksonville Beach, located right behind the Baptist Hospital on Roberts Road, I believe it is. Dr. Grable, thank you again for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Dr. Grable about the COVID so-called vaccination and the mandates by state after state after state and nations around the world with that mandate. Dr. Grable, I'm looking at an article that says MIT scientist warns of major brain damage to any child from the COVID shots. Speak to that. Why are they saying that? What are the details about that? And should parents be rushing to get their children vaccinated?
Well, we know that when you become a spike protein factory from getting these jabs, that these spike proteins very quickly deposit on what are called endothelial surfaces. These are the inside layer of your arterial blood vessels. And they very often go to the brain and nervous system, the heart, lymphatics, and various other organs. And we're seeing an explosion of myocarditis cases, for example. I know you just asked about brain, but there are numerous cases of seizures and other neurologic problems that have occurred very soon after these shots. And I think what's very interesting about data is the CDC announced a couple of months ago that their definition of vaccine reaction only applied 2 weeks after you got your shot. So if you were perfectly healthy on Monday, got the inoculation, had a severe reaction on Wednesday, it would by definition not be a vaccine reaction. So this is further some of the subterfuge to try to hide the side effects and problems that we're seeing with these shocks. And children, there has never been one healthy child that has died from COVID. Not one, to my knowledge.
Right.
And that the handful of children that have died had multiple comorbidities. Well, as we discussed, if patients take prophylaxis, I have my patients on 5,000 units of vitamin A, 5,000 units of vitamin D, some vitamin C twice a day, and a little extra zinc. And if they get sick, we jump on immediately with 4 medications. We've had terrific results. So if a child is taking some extra vitamin D, and if they should come down with COVID and display any kind of significant symptoms, they can be treated. And so we've got good treatments for this. So this need for all of this emergency use nonsense is just that. It's nonsense. And I think parents they mean well. They want to protect their children. But I think this is genocide. That's the way I look at it.
Dr. Grable, I'm in full agreement with you, and I not as much research as you have done, and certainly not a medical doctor to be able to have the insight that you have. But I've researched and reviewed probably about 5,000 articles on the subject, and I find it alarming that we find a government that says that we're going to help you, and so to help you, we're going to force you to take the vaccination. And yet we're finding across America that force is continuing, yet in places like Britain, I'm reading an article that says, trust the people. Britain lifts the vaccine passport, all mask mandates, dated January the 19th, after the models upon which based the policies provide to be wildly incorrect. Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced Wednesday the lifting of COVID-19 vaccine passports, mask mandates, and work-from-the-home guidelines in England. Regarding masks, the Prime Minister said, the basic policy will be to trust the judgment of the British people and no longer criminalize anyone who chooses not to follow the mandate. And yet I'm looking at another article that says one major newspaper in America is now suggesting that this is in the Salt Lake Tribune. Major U.S. newspaper insists on deploying National Guard to keep unvaccinated people at home. That's barbaric, it's inhumane, and ungodly. I'm saddened to see that taking place in America. But yet we find huge numbers of the Democrats, for example, Doctor. Here's an article, huge numbers of Democrats want the unvaccinated to even lose the custody of their children. And I could go into great details about the two articles. But Dr. Grable, what's the answer? I know we've talked about it and we've nipped around the edges of it. What is the answer? For example, should ivermectin be used? I'm looking at an article, research material that says ivermectin is 62% effective in preventing COVID and 86% effective in preventing infection, according to a UK doctor and the research. What are your thoughts on that? How should we view it? And I say that because right now I have a pastor friend in Tennessee that has a daughter that lives in Michigan that's been in the hospital since September with a ventilator. They claim she went in for another problem. They claim 3 days later she had COVID. Now have her intubated and basically in a paralyzed state, just destroying that young lady's life. I am appalled by it. As you know, we had a son that was tortured to death in a hospital in Virginia for 71 days in the same fashion. What is the answer, medically speaking? What should our listeners be aware of? What should they do? How should they respond? And what's the answer, in your medical opinion?
Well, education is always the first step. And I've been studying this for 25 years when I read in 1996 Len Horowitz's book on emerging viruses. And it was really by divine serendipity that he discovered that the Department of Defense had created HIV back in the early 60s. And this 2.5-inch thick book goes through it. He makes no assumptions and backs up every statement. So I've been aware of the government and a lot of the shenanigans that have been going on for some time. You know, if you listen to David Martin, he's got evidence that Fauci back in 1999 started all this stuff.
Yes.
You know, they had in 2002, they were awarded a patent for SARS vaccine. And lo and behold, SARS came out a year later in 2003. Well, Shazam. Well, there's now evidence we have that these so-called vaccines were available prior to COVID even presenting itself. So there is a tremendous amount of nonsense going on. And, you know, we don't have time in this discussion today to go into depth, but suffice it to say that the Committee of 300, which basically owns Vanguard and BlackRock, these two huge $10 trillion-plus firms basically own most of corporate America, the media, the politicians are in their back pocket, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And as a spiritual man, and I am too, you know, we both believe this is a good versus evil battle. I mean, that's what's going on here. And if you understand who are the criminals behind this, you basically begin to understand what's going on. Now, I had a very interesting meeting yesterday. We have a monthly meeting of a group of us, and one of the gals is an acupuncturist at Mayo, and she said that she's had well over 100 doctors tell her in private that they're very disenchanted with conventional medicine and are looking for a way out. So I think what's happened is in our system is if you read articles, a lot of these doctors and nurses are good people, but they feel that their hands are tied and they're terrified they're going to lose their jobs, they're going to lose their licenses, this sort of thing, if they speak up. So unfortunately, they kind of continue to follow along with the whole narrative. But I think it's beginning to fall apart, as you point out.
One of the things that, and you touched on it, I was very intrigued by watching a video this the other day of a female physician in Houston, has her own clinic, but she had medical, license to practice in the Methodist hospital there in Houston, had rights to practice there. They've restricted and suspended those rights because of her stand that is a stand basically against CDC and their protocol, but it saves lives. What should we think as citizens, as non-physicians, when a person goes to the physician and they have tested positive, as it is called, they supposedly have COVID, and the physician in many cases will say, go home, and if you get to the point you can't breathe, go to the emergency room, call an emergency vehicle, call 911, and then immediately after going into the hospital, as one physician told me in my investigatory quiz to him about the ventilator, he said, well, 85% of those that go on the ventilator die. So my question is, what are the average citizens to do? How are they to respond? I know this may not be your expectation, but I'd love to have individuals concerned about their physical condition, whether it's COVID and how they should respond to it, to be able to know how to reach you, your practice. Would you take a moment and tell our listeners about your medical practice, how they can reach your office, and ask for the opportunity to be examined, make the decision, and let you be on guard for their well-being and health?
Sure. Well, I practice functional medicine. Doctors like me try to figure out what makes you tick and to try to figure out how to correct it without using a lot of drugs and chemicals. What I would suggest is, first of all, despite the, and I'm at drgrable.com, that's drgrable.com. I have all my contact info there, phone numbers, et cetera, if anyone wants to get a hold of me. But I would just try to help your listeners to take a deep breath. COVID is just about burned out. Omicron is a big fat nothing. There's only a few Delta cases floating around out there. My advice is the testing, I think, is bogus. I've never bought into it. I've always made clinical diagnoses. If I smell or suspect COVID, I just aggressively treat it. And, you know, we've got an emergency COVID protocol set up where if someone contacts us, the staff goes through a questionnaire, they'll have the medicines that day. If their D levels, their vitamin D levels are over 50, so if you're on 5,000 units a day, that should bring your D levels up over 50. You will not, get cytokine storm, which is what was causing all the fatalities. Now, for your listeners, it's important to understand COVID is a two-part illness. The first part is a viral syndrome, which lasts 7 to 10 days. It is easily treated. If it is not treated, as you point out, if you follow the mainstream viewpoint, you're told to stay home till your lips turn blue, the virus is almost gone. Now you've gone into a pulmonary coagulopathy. You've gone into a blood vessel thrombosis problem, and now you're in deep trouble, especially if you have a lot of comorbidity. So the advice is get on some basic prophylaxis. As I mentioned, 5,000 a day, 5,000 a D, vitamin C and zinc. If you go to flccc.net, they've got some great protocols. Frontline doctors have tons of information out there. Peter McCullough, he's put out his protocol, easily obtained. Stay on those things. Keep yourself healthy. You had touched on before ivermectin prophylaxis. I have never in my practice suggested that because I told my patients I want them to get antibodies so that they're protected. Natural immunity is the best true herd immunity. And because we have good treatment, COVID is absolutely nothing to be frightened about. And I said that 18 months ago, and I still hold to that fact.
Doctor, one question that is causing great consternation for me personally, and that is the seeming same mindset across the nation and around the world that causes people to be so frightened that they will bow and bend at every whim, every direction of the governmental bureaucrats, the CDC and the NIH, et cetera, in America and around the globe. I've read some articles about what is called mass psychosis. Explain that and how it is the nexus with what we see happening with so many people willing to put the mask on, willing to follow in lockstep for the vaccine and the boosters. Explain that to our listeners.
Well, it's kind of interesting. First of all, you had mentioned Peter McCullough and Joe Rogan. So if your listeners, they're probably familiar with Joe Rogan. He did two wonderful podcasts, one with Peter McCullough and the other with Robert Malone. These are well worth your time. I listened to all 6 hours, packed with information, packed with research data, that sort of thing. Bob Malone, in his talk, talked about mass formation psychosis. And there were over 15 million views, and it's gotten under the skin of the corrupted mainstream medical establishment because they were criticizing him, saying, well, there's no such accepted ICD-10 code, psychological diagnosis called mass formation psychosis. Well, this term was coined by a researcher. I believe his name is Merritt. I forget his last name. But if you look back at the Germans, you can see an example of this, where the German people, who were good people, were convinced then that the Jews were evil and should be eliminated. So there's four components to this psychosis. And so you have to have isolation, fear, anxiety, and a dependence on the captor to save you. That's the Stockholm syndrome. And that's exactly what we've seen. So the government has put our nation into a state of fear by 24/7 wall-to-wall COVID terror. And so people were reaching out for a savior, and they're looking to the government. So when the Stockholm syndrome occurs, or the psychosis, it's sometimes difficult to get through to the person of how they've been deceived. And so we just have to do our best to try to get them to cut through and get them. But I absolutely believe in this syndrome.
So would you conclude then with your statements that is perhaps the instigator, the causative factor of citizens across America bowing to the government and taking the shot, wearing the mask, et cetera, and looking with jaundiced eye at those that refuse the vaccination, refuse the mask, refuse the lockdowns? Would you say then that's the key to it?
Absolutely. And I think Vlad Blanco really nailed it when he said, if you think about it, in 2020, everyone was put into a state of fear. So they were looking for an answer. Then the government comes out with these so-called vaccines. Well, that relieved their fear. Mm-hmm. So when you approach someone who is pro-COVID vaccine and you say, well, these vaccines really don't work, they make you sicker, yada, yada, you essentially are putting them back into a state of fear. So what I do and what I recommend is, first of all, allay people's fears. Say, look, we've got good prophylaxis. We've got good treatments. You do not have to be afraid. And you lower their fear level. Then you can hopefully start to try to crack the door a little bit to get them to look at this. And true, some people have drunk the proverbial Kool-Aid. No matter what you say, they're going to think the sky is green. I don't know what to do for those people. I guess when they start seeing everybody around them drop dead that's gotten these shots, not that everybody's going to die, but there's going to be a lot. We don't know how many. That maybe they'll start to wake up and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know, I sense your frustration, Doc, because I see it. I, in a handful of my patients, you know, I don't get into arguments with them, but, you know, they've come in, they come in fully masked, and they just, you know, I, despite my best attempts to teach them, you know.
I think, though, as I have entitled the broadcast today, Enough is Enough. We're seeing hundreds of thousands and yay millions in Washington State, Washington, D.C., New York, demonstrating and marching, saying no more vaccines, no more lockdowns, no more masks, and saying enough is enough. But as you know, Dr. Grable, the great wisdom of our extreme court, called the Supreme Court, just bifurcated the baby and said that OSHA cannot force the mandate of the vaccinations, but the doctors and nurses could be forced to be vaccinated or take the COVID shot. What is this going to do to the medical profession in general, and what will it do? How will it redound to the patients being properly treated in a hospital or medical facility?
Well, you know, it's obviously going to have a dramatic impact, not only from deaths from some of these shots, which one thing is just to go down one little quick rabbit hole. I'm sure you're aware of Paul Yeadon, who is former VP for Pfizer in the science department.
Yes, yes.
Said that they've evaluated these lots, and they've seen marked discrepancies in the different lots, the batches, if you will, and that about 0.5% of these is causing most of the deaths and mayhem. So at the very best, this is just poor manufacturing process. At the very worst, the fact that most of these lots went to red states, this was a deliberate genocide attempt to take out people that were going to go counter to the government narrative. That alone should cause a halt to all this nonsense and cause us to take a look at this. As far as the Supreme Court goes, as we know, you know, unfortunately, our Supreme Court, you know, John Roberts, I think he's been either bought off or threatened off. You know, you can see him yucking it up with Ghislaine Maxwell. I think he was on the island, all that stuff. So they're trying to, I think, walk a tightrope, but they're causing, you know, the doctors, there's been quite a few of them that have been fired or have quit because of this. The hospitals are still overrun with scared people. Like I said, many of them have gotten these shots. I really don't know where it's all going to end. I think the tide is turning. I'm hopeful. But I think as more people speak up, sign petitions, you know, call your Congress people, you know, we can change this. I think the tide is turning, which is good.
I'm prayerful it is. One of the things I believe, Dr. Grable, that will help is, the, for example, the state of Arizona. They've just introduced legislation in Arizona that if a company forces an employee to take the vaccination, that company becomes liable for the health issues that would be manifest from the vaccination. The headline says, Arizona plan would make employers liable for any complications from COVID shots, dated January the 22nd. COVID-19 and its variants undoubtedly are a dangerous threat to the health of the nation's population, and hundreds of thousands have died of it in America since it apparently came out is the Chinese Research Lab from the Chinese Research Lab 2 years ago. And to go into the details of what they're doing with that legislation, it's my prayer, Dr. Grable, that we'll have more states that will introduce legislation like that. And you may or may not be familiar with the fact that, and I'm thankful that I had some impact on it. I'd gotten Senator Aaron Bean and Representative Clay Yarber and Anthony Sabatini in the 26th District in Miami to join together. And in Tallahassee now, there's two bills introduced in the Senate and one in the House that will make it illegal in the state of Florida, if the bills pass, make it illegal in the state of Florida for a hospital or a medical facility to refuse to allow patients, families, and relatives to be able to visit them, and will stop the barbaric, inhumane isolation of that patient, and it will also put teeth into the patient's Bill of Rights. Doctor, would you speak to the issue of the patient's Bill of Rights, of that patient having the authority to say no to a medication, or to say yes to a medication, or to request a medication? Are those rights valid, and what should we do if a hospital, medical institution refuses that?
Oh, absolutely. And what I would suggest that you do is write out a document that states exactly what you are willing to have done and not have done, and hand that to the hospital upon any kind of admission. God forbid you have to go to the hospital. Any hospital, if they do something against your expressed written wishes, that's assault. And there is room for probably criminal charges as well as just general liability. And I wanted to just mention something. I know we're coming up to the end here, but I wanted something very interesting to mention. I'm sure you've seen David Martin. He's the cue ball with the bow tie.
Yes.
What a terrific fella. And nobody's talking about this. VAERS, 1986 Vaccine Act, VAERS has to be valid, and if VAERS is not valid, it negates the 1986 protection. The CDC alone has come out and said the VAERS data is inaccurate. So by definition, these vaccine companies should not have immunity from liability.
I agree with that. Dr. Grable, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.